Hello, and thanks for being with us on The New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Nitza Mazoz.
Hello.
And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about crises in life. Life brings crises even if we didn't invite them. We'd like to understand how can we work with them in order to make the best out of life. Be with us, Nitza, please.
Yeah.
In life, there are crises, some of which are predictable, some aren't, meaning that there are stops in a person's life that when he'll reach that stop, probably he'll experience some kind of crisis. Usually it's after some big dramatic change like a wedding, the expansion of the family, getting older, growing up, retiring from work, all the big unknown things are pretty predictable. There are also things that aren't predictable that could have to do with health issues, accidents, I don't know, losing your place of work, getting fired. These are things that aren't necessarily predictable. And there are crises that are negative and hard, and there are even crises that are positive. For example, when a new child is born into the family, seemingly it's a positive situation, but still we experience a crisis. So, let's first try and understand why are crises a part of our life? What purpose do they serve? A crisis, mashber in Hebrew, is a place where women give birth. That place where women sit down to give birth, in Hebrew, is called mashber, also meaning crisis. And this is how we have to relate to our crises, what we call crises in life. Of course, there are those that are ended by the so-called upper force, and those that are ended by us, even though that too comes from the upper force, but in a more revealed way. And therefore, this is how we have to look upon everything, regardless of whether it's good or bad, according to how we feel it. Bigger or smaller in intensity. But every such event can be like a crisis, like a new birth, a new period. It depends on how we relate to it. Do we learn something from it? And do we see what is born? Sometimes we don't even identify that something's born here, a new opportunity. We just skip over it. Usually it's something that we only understand in retrospect. And therefore, our crises in life, first and foremost, depend on us, on how we understand them. Maybe not as they occur, but in what we feel, and especially the lesson that we can learn from them, the result, how do we learn something from them? That's it. So you're saying that if until now you thought that you're born just once in life and then you die, you're saying no. Actually, you're born every time, meaning there are different processes in which you're born anew every time, even every day. So every day is a new birth, only that there are certain points in life where you really feel that this is a new birth, meaning that these crises, these births, what is their role that I'm born anew every time in a new state? It's in order for us to really advance, because every day is something new. This is how I have to look at things, as if I was just born, that I can change my life now and not look at yesterday, but to know and not to be shy or ashamed to change my life for it to be new in my eyes and even in the eyes of those around me, where the main thing for me is to advance toward that goal that I'm living for. So the right attitude towards a crisis is to see these crises as a part of a process that's pushing us towards development. Yeah. Even if the crisis is really bad, also we don't know what good or bad is. Later we see that it's not that bad and this how it should have been. What is bad? Even death isn't bad. It's life. And who knows that if a person dies, then that's the end. It's not the end. All in all, there are periods that end this way and continue later. So what's the difference between predictable crises that we know that come in certain points in life and unpredictable crises that as if catches off guard? I think that it all depends on a person's psychological preparation, and you're a psychologist, not me. So you can say a lot about it. It all depends on the preparation, and preparation depends on a person's education. Is a person accompanied correctly so that he goes through these crises correctly? First of all, that he's explained to that there's no such thing as predictable or unpredictable in life, that a person who's born has a certain fate, destiny, that he has to reach a certain point of development in his life that depends on the root of his soul, and therefore there's nothing new here. It's simply that we don't know, but it's also good not to know. Like nature dictates. Therefore, what we want is to try and understand what should be our attitude towards life, what is in our ability to change, and what can't we change, what should we accept. Yeah. And not to run after all these things that we can't achieve, meaning to look at life realistically, that I have so-and-so many years to live, so-and-so much strength, knowledge, property, financial and intellectual abilities, and so I have to consider these things correctly. It's not that I go for less or lesser things, but what I try to achieve are those things that are most right and correct for me, that I can rationally realize. This is what a person has to do, and this is also how he protects himself from crises and also uses the crisis as a place of birth and really gives birth to himself, like a jump board. Yeah? Okay, what breaks inside of me during a crisis, and what's born anew? Your hopes, probably. My hopes. Yeah? Previously, I thought that I'm going to get something, some kind of a, I don't know, prize, something. And suddenly, instead of that, I don't. So it's a sign that I probably didn't take all the conditions, circumstances, data into consideration, and this is why I'm behaving the way I am now, that suddenly it fell on me out of nowhere. Of course, I'm not a prophet that I see everything, but it gradually teaches me how to look at life, see life correctly. So, not to get disappointed, but to see it as a correction that nature does on me, that nature teaches me that I didn't behave correctly. My observation was incorrect. I didn't know how to correctly evaluate what's in front of me. So the crisis is this inner breaking point because I imagine that life has to work in a certain way, the way I see it, and suddenly reality shows me the complete opposite. This point where life confronts me with what you want and what you actually have. That's the point of crisis. Yeah. This interesting. Now, let's look at a person's life. That, like we said, they're predicted things. Let's look at a crisis when a couple becomes a couple and at a certain point they become parents. They bring a new child into this world. Usually people prepare themselves for this. Many times it's something that people dream about for years, meaning there is seemingly some kind of preparation, but the crisis, it eventually comes. We see that there's a big crisis even if we dreamt about it and fantasized and whatnot. Reality is actually different than what we imagined. It's seemingly the simplest thing. Natural, we become parents, a new child's born. Why does it really shake us up the way it does? It's a new state. Commitment. From this point and on, from the point that a child's born and on, then a man, he at least feels that he's like in prison. It ties him. He's no longer free. Also, to get married for him, it's a kind of commitment that he feels that that's it. He's handcuffed. And with a child, he feels like he was put in a cell. And gradually, somehow, gets used to it until prison seems to him okay, that this is life, but still, he all the time feels, till the end of life, that his commitment to his family is, it's an obligation. Whereas a woman, even though that she's really busy with the family and everything, and she all the time has to, doesn't feel that this is her obligation, but that this is her privilege. Even though that at first she also experiences hardships, she gets a certain kind of compensation that a man doesn't. So, in essence, there's a different point of view. The way a woman sees children as a privilege and a man sees them as a kind of an obligation. I'm saying that this is usually the case in the society that we live in. Sure, there are men that take care of the children instead of the mother. I hear that today there are many fathers that are willing to take a paternity leave and take the mother's role. Yeah, but still, this is how it is by nature. So all in all, this is a happy moment in a person's life. How can we learn to observe life correctly? To correctly observe parenthood? Nothing can help. We'll see this in the next generation too, and also in this generation. How people no longer want to become parents. They reject it. They don't want to leave their parents' home. They don't want to get married. When they do get married, they don't want it. They get divorced. Even if a child is born, they didn't really want it. And they get divorced afterwards. In short, we also build many systems nowadays that can take care of such children and women and single-parent families and so on. Meaning, this is how the world evolves and develops because our ego is growing and it doesn't allow us to stand each other. I want to add another point. I didn't really research this statistically wise and so on, but there's a feeling that all throughout history it is known that becoming pregnant is something complicated. But nowadays, I see around me many couples that are trying to have children and it's going really hard. Eventually, those that do succeed, and it could take years of pressure and miscarriages and whatnot. And suppose some of them eventually do have children. I can divide their life into two phases. There's the phase where they expect for it to happen. First of all, that they'll be able to get pregnant. Then that the pregnancy will be fine. And afterwards, congratulations. The birth itself. Seemingly for years, they're dreaming about it, preparing themselves, and really make an effort. And then comes the birth. The birth took a man and a woman from a place where they were a couple to a place where they are a mother and a father. They're really happy, but their life went into a new phase. And I think most couples, or I at least think all of them, to some extent, experience it as a big crisis. This is life. Now, from your wisdom, I want to ask you, can you give us a direction before we become parents? Soon we're going to be parents. Give us a direction, some kind of guidance, in order for us to correctly look at parenthood, so it will truly be something amazing and not a shattering experience. Beautifully put. Oh, good. Nitza will help you. Yeah, Oren described it beautifully. It's really, this is how it happens. That it's the start of a new period in a family that really shakes things up, that's for sure. That a man experiences it completely differently than a woman, that's also clear. A woman accepts it gladly. She loves the boy or girl that she gave birth to. She immediately bonds with them. This is her life. They're more precious to her than she herself is. Whereas a man, he isn't. He's in a kind of an emotional turmoil. He doesn't really accept it. He doesn't want it. It's standing in his way. He feels that this newborn is really tying him down, and also kind of took his place. Not even that. In and of himself, he feels that these few kilograms of flesh are now controlling him, are limiting him in life. It's not that previously he was that free, but now he's imagining that he can't, you know, fly and move, do things. He has to now connect to, take this little guy into consideration, as if this little child is now controlling his life. And for a man, it's a big problem. For a woman, it isn't. She's entirely willing to serve that newborn. And it only makes her joyous. And she's willing to be next to him all the time. As long as she's not disconnected from him, everything's fine. But a man doesn't feel that way, and therefore for him, it's a big problem. I understand men in this regard, and what can I say here? That a man should get some kind of good support, preferably in a group. A group that includes men and women, or only men, for men, or couples. It depends who are we talking about. For him to learn and hear other men, how they can correctly accept this, nonetheless, blow, and be in peace with it. This blow, as you call it, for a man, it's that previously he thought that he's controlling his life, and now there's a little child controlling his life. Yeah, that too. I'm trying to exactly understand what is it that causes. Of course, now he already feels that he's no longer in the center of things, because a woman who has a baby now on her hands, she feels complete. As if, instead of her husband, she now has something in her hand that completes the world for her, makes it whole. This is how it seems. Whereas, I don't think that all these stories about men becoming envious and so on are correct. Meaning it's not about that. No. A man feels more of a blow to his freedom. Oh, and what else? Yeah. You're describing the crisis. If I put myself in the shoes of a couple that are about to become parents for the first time in their life, so you described very correctly those things that I as a man fear. So how do I go through it? This child, he'll limit me. Okay, I understand, but how do I relate it correctly? I think that he should listen to other young couples. A man should listen to young couples, other young couples, and to receive advice from them, you know, talks, just simple talks, like between friends, it'll really help him. And how will that help him? What kind of an impression does he get from it? That it's possible to relate to this in a normal way, this something that everyone experiences, and we do too. And it comes down at a certain point. It's not the end of the world, right? A man, he's like a child, easy to influence. Anything else? No. Okay, so I want to ask about the next crisis. Usually it's around the ages of 30, 40. Today, people even say at the age of 50 and so on, it moves forward all the time. But there are also the points of crisis that come. The kids, they already grew up. We already learned to live as a family. And still, let's talk about the age of 40. It's a stop in the middle of life. I think that before that, if it's a man, then he thinks, how does he want to shape his life? What? Why? How? What for? It's not that this is something that you think about at the age of 40 or 50. You think about this even before the age of 30. And then that man has a question. What do I dedicate my life to from this point and on? Yeah. If he doesn't flow with the general current, then this is what he feels. And at the age of 40 and on, then he already has to revise, criticize, what did he go through, and nature awakens him to do that, and here it's a problem. What did he or didn't he attain, how to continue with life? Because the ages of 40 or 50, it's practically the middle of your life, and a person has another 30 years during which he can be useful, active in achieving his goal in life. So it's possible that he changes goals over time. At these ages, there are people that change their goal, profession, or their spouse, their wife. Again, these are things that as a society, we're dealing with them really poorly. So this is what I'm asking about, because the crisis will happen. It's necessary to explain to a person. And again, it should be a broader circle of people that will show him that nothing new will happen in life if you change your family now, or even if you leave your profession, you have to look for the meaning of life. This is in addition to what you have. And therefore, it's preferable for a man to really ask about the meaning of life. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah recommends to start studying the wisdom of Kabbalah at the age of 40. This midlife crisis that we're talking about, that, as you said, nature pushes a person to re-examine, where am I headed, I'm halfway through, yeah, you already see the other half coming. Yeah, so what next? Now, you're saying that a smart person will understand that what he has to examine now isn't how does he change external things in life, like his profession, place of work, his family, his wife, but how does he make an inner change inside himself that maybe the world continues as is, but he changes direction internally in terms of the goals, his goals in life. Of course, if previously his goal was to succeed in life, work, profession, career, this, that, now, at the ages of 40 or 50, he re-examines, what is my goal? The goal is eventually what? Eventually you'll die for sure. I don't know if this is the goal, but it'll come. Right, so it's somewhere out there. Now, what's happening? What's going on? How do I correctly realize the 30 or 40 years that I have left? And therefore, as I said, from this you can understand why the wisdom of Kabbalah recommends to start studying it from the age of 40. Suppose he wants to have a new career. It won't help. Why not? Suppose it's too boring. I can't see this office anymore. I can't see this work anymore. I'm sure that if I'll do something new in this regard, then there, you know, everything's going to be great. We already know that it's all going to be the same. And besides, nowadays, with all of our advancement in life, then a person changes careers and occupations several times in life, and the more we advance, the more it'll happen. Okay, so this isn't what will bring that cardinal change that will take my life to a better place. No, what can change? You'll change one wife for another, one place of work for another. You have to do something about yourself. Does this discussion also apply to women? This is a different discussion, but we'll have to do it some other time, because unfortunately our time's over. Dr. Lightman, today we talked about the midlife crisis and the crisis of parenthood. How should we correctly relate to these crises? I don't have a solution for everyone, for everything. What you need is to relate to this with patience, to understand that the crises come from above, and that there is a solution for everything, and that after the crisis comes a new birth. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.